That's a grand slam home run.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Yeah, welcome. Welcome back. It's Monday. Episode 534 of the Two Dumb Yinzers. How you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing great. I was worried there. Like episode 200, we travel back in time.
We are, Mike. We are halfway to 1,068. So just in case anybody's keeping track, this is where we're at.
You always do this. You always do like the weird odd number, not like halfway to 1,000. 1,068. Right. This is why I like it. Keep me on
anybody could do that.
Yeah.
Mike's going with obviously the garbage man look today. I don't know what's going on with Mike, but
this is actually the get up I have to wear to go outside right now because it's so sunny and I can't find any type of baseball cap anywhere to fit my head. So this is what I'm doing right now. It's rough out here.
Pretty crazy because we're going through a nice little heat wave. It looks like it's going to get up to at least 70 all week long here in Pittsburgh. We got up right around 80 yesterday. Mike cannot keep his bald head from burning is what's going on. He's got the tassel cap on, and he goes outside and he gets burnies. He said, that's what you're doing, ain't it?
Yeah, I don't want melanoma, so I'll look like a fool. I'm okay with that, and I'm rocking the brand merch, you know, so.
All right.
I'm trying here. I'm trying to promote the brand. This is how you're...
As Mike drinks merrily through the weekend and eats heavily, he's worried about melanoma, but hey, it's all good, man.
I'm trying to say I didn't eat heavily and drink heavily this weekend, but you saw me. I did.
That's right. Therapy, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
What up, Marion?
I'm feeling a lot better. Saturday.
Are you feeling better, Derpy?
Yes, I'm feeling a lot better.
The projectile diarrhea. I mean, that was. It was. I felt bad for you, man. I know how that is, and you know sometimes that could be a burden. And you know, glad to see you back at it this morning. Glad to have everybody here. Good morning to Ron on the board. Ron, you know what? Coincidentally, I'm going to start with the Steelers today. We do have a lot to talk about in regards of the Pirates and the Penguins and other things that went on throughout the weekend here. But I do. I'm going to start with some Steelers. Ron must have been reading my mind, but I do want to say welcome, Ron. I was thinking about you last week. Hope everything's going well on your end. I was going to bring up this about Brandon Ayuk, and Brandon Ayuk is a hot rumor topic right now, guys, in Pittsburgh. It seems like every time I turn around, somebody's saying that we're attempting to make it a move to get Brandon Ayuk. We are very interested in Brandon Ayuk, and give me one moment here. I'll be able to pull up something interesting that I found over the weekend. This here is from Steeler Nation. I got this from Steelers Nation on Facebook. Steelers Nation, the source is Benjamin Eldrick. And he says, source, Steelers are head over the heels for 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk. However, the 49ers are nickeling and diming acquisition costs. But I'm told Omar will get him here 100%. Let me ask you this, Mike. Say we get Brandon Ayuk and we go into the draft. Would it be possible? Because I'm thinking, you know, everybody has us getting our line and getting our center, eyeing up tackles.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Let's say we get Brandon Ayuk. And then in the draft, maybe we could trade up, I'm sorry, a little bit and pull somebody like Cooper DeJean. Because not only because, I mean, we need a center. Why would we abort that plan? But the plan is anyway, if something happens with Jackson Powers Johnson, look for Zach Frazier in the next round. So let's say we get our receiver before the draft, which some speculation is that they're going to try to get this trade made if in fact it's going to happen with San Francisco, but going in grabbing like I haven't heard anybody say anything negative about Cooper DeJean, and with all the quarterbacks and receivers and all these other positions going in the top 10, Is it possible to go get somebody like that and then get your Zach Frazier in the second round? And then you're pretty much taken care of. You're drafting depth after that. You're going after defensive linemen. You're going after tackles. But, you know, as far as putting a starting team on the field and getting, on top of an impressive draft, What do you think something like that is possible? Mike, let's just start from the top. We get Brandon Ayuk in the next 10 days because the draft is in 10 days. And, I mean, we get him before the draft, and we still have a chance of getting, you know, one of the top three centers in the second round. Do you think that they could go outside of their comfort zone, Mike, in that first round and get somebody that could be a little bit more exciting?
I think that might be a possibility. I know a lot of us are hammering, like, you know, we want to tackle. They like Dan Moore. If you think about it from their perspective, outside of the, like, the fan thing, they like Dan Moore at left tackle. They're okay with him there. They're okay with Broderick Jones playing right tackle until he can get, you know, his pass blocking up to snuff. So in my mind, thinking like the Steelers front office, I could see if they do that trade with, say, Brandon, like Ron said, you probably might have to swap 20th overall for 31st overall. Okay. You still might be able to, and then you do that, you might be able to trade back up higher from 31 using that third round pick that you picked up, you know, in the trade earlier in the year, when you can get someone like a Cooper Jeezy who can play anywhere in that secondary. Or if he falls, maybe someone along the lines of like Layden Kinstry. You know, before the whole draft process started, he was like the top guy, but now you got, you know, Quentin Marshall, the guy from Akron, and then you got Terrell Arnold, Cooper Dejean, Wiggins are all in that mix. And if someone like Coley McKinstry, I've seen him fall down, if they can get him or Cooper Dejean, and then you get Ayuk, and then you get, you know, Zach Frazier in the second round, that would be a really good draft, really good offseason right there, because you're getting positions of need that you want. I'm just thinking of it as the Steelers front office, because I don't think we're taking a tackle in this draft. I think they like Dan Moore at left, Broderick at right. They just need that center because they got their guards figured out.
Yeah.
So just thinking to ask the front office, he is a fan for a tackle, but I'm, you know, thinking like that, like you said, I could see them doing this and it would work out.
Yeah, I'm pretty. You know what? I think something like that would be fantastic. Again, you know, you get a guy like Cooper DeJean, whoever takes him, they're going to be on ESPN for the next 15 years with this guy. Making plays, making highlights, you know, and this dude does it all. He's very athletic. You could use him on special teams. You could use him in a return game. And, you know, there's so many pluses and upside about somebody like Cooper DeJean. And as I said, it doesn't seem like they're so hell-bent on getting JPJ out of Oregon to where they would be happy getting a Frazier one of these other couple top guys to where they could pull something like that. Mike, I thought of this over the weekend. Wouldn't the ultimate fleece be this? You know how we keep pulling it over on the Bears?
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't this be the ultimate fleece? If we would trade, because the Bears are looking for a starting quarterback, we give them Justin Fields, and they give us their number one overall draft pick. Now, if Omar Khan was truly the con man.
Flip it back to him.
Yeah. If he was truly the con man, he could make this happen. We could give them Justin Fields because they need a starting quarterback. They know no better. They're Chicago. Yeah. We get that number one overall pick.
Yeah, let's tell them we're going to give you a quarterback on our roster. We take Brian Poole's out to drink and get a couple in there. He might be dumb enough to pull it off. That would be comical. Would be funny. But speaking of, like, JPJ, there's rumors now, too, that I'm reading that he might fall to the second round.
So, I've seen that.
Yeah, so if that happens there, too, you have a plethora of centers to look at. And, Brian, this is perfect. Over on the blog post today, I did it on the top four centers that the Steelers could get. So you read my mind, or you went over and peeked the blog before you did this. But, yes, so check it out. Check the blog out. All four centers that we could potentially draft are over there. But just thinking of like back at the front office of the Steelers, if they can get Ayuk, I don't think you have to give up with number one overall and not get anything back for him. Like Ron said, you can do a swap there. We might maybe even a second round pick this year, a pick next year might be enough to get Ayuk. I've read like reporters online saying like, well, if you get him, you have to sign him to a contract. Well, yeah, we spent all this money on defense. How about we spend money on the offensive side of the ball? Get one of the better young receivers in the league. We just saw Philly, they just signed Devontae Smith, right? Derby Smith, they signed to a contract. Yeah, and it's not a cost-prohibitive contract. So if you can trade Ayuk, sign to a similar contract like you did with Philly, you're sitting in a pretty good position because you eventually have to spend money on the offensive side of the ball. We want us to score, and that's what you're going to have to do. You might have to pay this guy that type of money, and I would be willing to do it. He's a damn good receiver.
Mike, let me ask you this. Say the Pittsburgh Steelers could pull Brandon Ayuk. They get their center, one of their centers they're happy with. And let's just say, you know, you get another person that excites the fans, maybe like a Cooper DeJean, something like this. Do you think that this all of a sudden changes the opinion around the league and puts the Steelers in the higher bracket of teams? I mean, we've made a lot of adjustments and a lot of improvements to the team that went 10-7 and made the playoffs without a quarterback. You know, I mean, this has to bump us up somewhat.
I don't know. Like the league opinion, you know, around Russell Wilson, even though his numbers were not bad, he was a top 15 quarterback last year. Looking at numbers, people are still clowning on this guy. He's not that good, blah blah blah. But you look at his numbers; they are not bad. But everyone has him as like the bottom half of the league in starting quarterbacks.
You know, it's all these teams where their quarterbacks don't have great numbers either.
Yeah, exactly. Or you got young guys above him that haven't really shown anything.
Right.
Like Anthony Richardson. I hope he has a good career. I like the way he plays up in Indy, but he was hurt. He didn't do much. And I can understand someone like C.J. Stroud being above Russell Wilson in the rankings, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. Like, his numbers were not bad. He put his numbers on this team, but we won two more games last year. Like, just going by the numbers.
And two more wins puts us at 12-5.
Yeah, 12-5 in a
which
damn
is a
good
damn
spot.
Good season.
Yeah, and you know, we
you figured really that record would have put us 2-3 games over Kansas City.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So that's where we're at.
Because if you can swap, because you can get Ayuk, you're swapping Ayuk for Deontay Johnson. That's a huge upgrade. You're swapping Dante Jackson for Levi Wallace. That's an upgrade. In my eyes, not a huge upgrade, but it's an upgrade. So those positions are better. We're better at quarterback. Tackles are going to be what they are. Like I said, they really like Dan Moore because the way he turned himself in from a fifth-round pick to a starting capable player, they like him. They're comfortable with him there. They know what they're going to get out of it. So I don't think they're taking tackle. And this team would be a pretty good team. But overall, like I said, the media and the league, they just don't have a high opinion of Russell Wilson.
That's all right, because every other time the Steelers did it all, we didn't have a lot of people believing us until after they got it done. So you know what? That's fine as Pittsburgh. We don't mind that. Mike, another name that came swirling around the rumor hall over the weekend was Justin Simmons. Back in the talks with Denver, possibly about some kind of a trade, something with Justin Simmons, Mike. Justin Simmons, does this hold anything for you? And if it doesn't, does perhaps just a lot of the things that we've collected so far in the offseason, the players, the receivers, the draft picks, you know, we have leverage, Mike. Is a Justin Simmons somewhere in the possibilities, or do you think that this rumor is going to sizzle out eventually?
I think there is something to this rumor. He would fit well in like secondary for what they want to do. And, you know, it's a passing league now, so you need more guys back there. You get someone like him back there who just went to another Pro Bowl last year, had another all-pro type season. You have him, Minka, what's his name? Who we picked up at Strong in the offseason? I'm blanking on him. But you find a way to get Simmons, Minka, and our other safeties on the field. That's a damn good secondary. And Simmons, you know, potentially move him down in the box too to help out. But you just have more, you need more weapons in the secondary, and he would help. You find a way to get him out there. Find a way to get Minka out there. And if Minka gets hurt again like he did last year, is a little banged up, you're not losing a whole lot going from Minka to Simmons. And I think Justin played more strong safety, but he's still been plug and play him back there if Minka gets hurt, shuffle some guys around.
It just seems like to win
you
a Super Bowl.
You can't go wrong with adding
anymore,
a player like that.
You have to play Madden. Yeah. You got to, you know, that's what sports is turning into. You have to kind of build a super team to stay competitive.
Yeah.
And that's almost, you know, it's every time you turn around, Hey, the Steelers are going to go after Russell Wilson. They got him. Steelers are going to go after Justin Fields. They got him. Steelers are going to go after Brandon Ayuk. If they get him, they're Justin Simmons. How many times have you ever remembered any of these conversations in the offseason, about the Steelers, Mike? Things are definitely changing around the league. And, that's kind of what it's turning into. It's you got to build and try to win now. And, the long term just doesn't seem to work anymore. And there's the thing, if you attempt the long term, as the Steelers did, and you aren't successful, then you screw yourself. You just threw away 5 years. So it's almost more beneficial and makes more sense, Mike, to do it the way that Omar Khan and company is doing it and creating these, getting as many good players as you can. These all just like they were last year. They were 1 and 2 year deals, but you bring some of these guys over and you're opening that window and you're trying to see if you can win a championship in that period of time.
Yeah, that's like when the Rams won their pick, or won their Super Bowl, their GM was trading draft picks away. People were like, oh my God, what are you doing? He was like, F them picks. I'm here to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And then they did. And then they were down for a year. And now they're kind of on the uprise again. So that's how you have to do it now. Like, you can't really do that long-term building, because you see it now. Like, owners get impatient, fans get impatient. You have to go for the now, and you have to do what's best for
Mike,
the team.
Here's a name that I think would be vital if he did come back. And you know what? It might hurt a little bit if he doesn't. But he's a free agent right now. Somebody that was on our team last year. Somebody who was, for the position he was a backup linebacker, Mike, Marcus Golden. The guy got 4 sacks last year backing up at the outside linebacker position. So between Nick Herbig and if Marcus Golden would come back, I don't think you could find a tougher pair of backup outside linebackers in the league coming in behind T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith. If you have Nick Herbig, Mike, and you also have Marcus Golden, if we could bring him back. I think, again, there's some teams, Mike, that I think those two backups are better than their two starting outside guys.
I'm trying to think. Was he signed by anyone? He's being pursued by Miami right now.
Yes, Miami's very interested in him.
Yeah, so he's still out there. But like you said, if they can bring him back and Herbert, we saw how well they played when they had to come in. Like I mentioned, during the year, if they played the same amount of snaps as like Watt Highsmith, both those guys would have been double-digit sacks. So those guys are huge.
Right.
Those are very important to have those guys, because we saw what happened when Watt went out 2 years ago when we had no one behind him. You know, he played drop. And you get him, Golden and Herbig. That's a great, great, great backups. Guys that you are starter capable. That are coming in when the O-line's getting worn out. Those guys.
And one guy's a rookie and one guy's a veteran. I like that too. You got a little bit of both ends of the spectrum there. Mike, I do want to move forward a little bit here. Hines Ward did agree to be the Arizona State wide receiver coach. Mike, do you think Hines Ward's ultimately going to have a good coaching career when it's all said and done?
I don't know. I think we talked about this last week, how when he went to the Jets, their receivers did not improve. When he went there, their numbers actually went down. That was at him, the quarterback play, you don't know. Then he goes to the USFL, XFL, they had one of the worst teams. Now they're one of the best, if not the best team in the league right now.
They did take an L over the weekend. We'll get more to that. But,
I just don't know. Like, just because you're a great player doesn't mean you're going to be a good coach.
Absolutely.
Because there's, people that you can do, but you might have trouble communicating to people to do it because, no, I just know how to do it. It just comes naturally. Now you saw that, with Jordan. Great. Maybe, greatest basketball player of all time. Can't coach. He can't tell guys what to do because it comes natural. Same thing, with Lemieux. It just comes to you. You don't know how to do it. You see, guys that weren't the greatest but were really good. Those guys seem to be better coaches because they're able to communicate. Because they had to work at it more than the other guys. They had to fine-tune everything, where a lot of these skilled, great players, a lot of it came naturally. And there's little things they had to work on. They didn't have to work on everything.
Right. There was just one other quick thing here in the Steelers I was trying to pull up, but I'm having a hard time finding it. Oh, here it is. Okay, so One last thing about the Steelers before we move on. Per the NFL Network, the NFL informed clubs today that has revised, or over the weekend, it has revised uniform policy to allow teams a third helmet design for the 2025 season. The league-wide memo notes, if either alternate color helmet is paired with a classic uniform, the helmet colors and designs must be historically compatible. Mike, do you like going when they do the switching up? Remember they had the yellow helmets for a while.
I love the yellow
helmets. I like the yellow helmets.
Do you like the change of pace?
I do. It's something different. I mean, I just don't do it all the time. So when it does happen, it's something special. I like it. I like the, when teams do the color rush. I like the different uniforms when they bring them back. When they're third helmets. If they're done right.
And I'll get into it when we talk about the Pirates, but I got to tell you, the Philadelphia Phillies, they'd wore those City Connect uniforms the other day.
They were ugly.
They were blue. They were blue and black. Like a dark blue, not that weird Philly blue that they have in their helmet. It was a dark blue. Then it went into the black and in the lower part of the shirt. And then they had dark blue pants with a yellow stripe. I thought to myself, at first glance, I thought it was Eagle Green. Yeah. I thought, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because, being from Philadelphia.
Yeah, too.
But it wasn't Eagle Green at all. It was a Jacksonville Jaguar blue.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. That's figured out all weekend what it reminded me of now.
If Jacksonville would have a baseball team, that's what their uniforms would look like, I would think.
Yeah, it would make sense. So, they were down in a baseball team in Jacksonville. You would have this. Like you said, if it was Philly green, that would have been awesome. No. It looks like the Jaguars.
Philly F's everything up.
Yeah, they do. Philly can't do anything.
Mike, let's move on. It is a Bucks and Pucks day. I just want to say 10 days to the draft. We certainly will be talking a lot more about that here as we move closer to the draft next week, guys. The draft will be here. We're also keeping our eye open on a lot of trade rumors, free agency, things like that. So, guys, keep your ears open because, this Brandon Ayuk thing just ain't going away. So I'm beginning to wonder. Bucks and Pucks, Mike, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Penguins back at it tonight. The Pirates, they're doing some good things here, guys. They haven't lost a series yet. They won yesterday. I'm sorry. They won and they tied the series against the Phillies. They were down 2-1. They won on Sunday, 9-2, to make that series 2-apiece. They've yet to lose a series since they started. They are 8-3 against National League East teams so far. 8-3, and 3-2 versus American League teams so far. They have the third best record in the majors at the moment at 11-5. They are tied with the Dodgers in the National League with 11 wins. They have played more road games than anybody else in the league. We've played 11 road games so far. Again, we're 8-3 also on the road, which is a very good sign. It's harder to win on the road. This team is 8-3. On the road, they're 3-2 at home, and again, things could be a lot worse for this Pittsburgh Pirates team. They seem to still be doing things well. They had some highlights over the weekend, and they go into the Mets series, Mike, with an 11-5 record. The Mets come in with a 7-8 record, which I'm liking. And tonight, game one of three. Martin Perez comes in the game with a 1-0 record, a 1.89 ERA, and 15 strikeouts. And for the Mets, Adrian Hauser comes in with an 0-1 record, a 5.40 ERA, and only 4 strikeouts for the game against the Mets tonight, which is Jackie Robinson Day. So everybody will be wearing number 42 when they watch the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight, if you're wondering what that's all about. A lot of things, Mike, about this game I do want to talk about. They did also, I want to mention, since the last time we talked to everybody, they won on Friday 5-2. They lost in extra innings on Saturday 4-3. And the Pirates, of course, they won yesterday 9-2. Now, in five plus run scored games by the Pirates. In games that Pirates scored five plus runs, they've only lost one game so far. In games where they haven't scored five runs, they haven't won a game yet. Their winning percentage is 93.7% when they score at least five runs a game. Any game, with the exception of the 3-2 win over the Orioles, they scored five runs in every win and under five runs in every loss. Which played into yesterday, because yesterday the guys came out and they were ready to hit the ball.
Oh, yeah.
It was the Berg Bombers.
Talking about the runs, we're averaging 5.4 runs a game.
Yeah, and that's good because
that puts us seventh overall. It's kind of like we talked about in spring training. They right now they jumped from number 22 last year to top 10 this year, and that's what we said they need to do. And
absolutely,
it's nice to see them doing it.
Andrew McCutchen has two hits yesterday. One of them is a home run, and it wasn't just any home run; it was his 300th career home run. 300th career. Also, Jack Sawinski has two hits, and one of his hits is a grand slam home run. Drove in four runs. And also Bart, our new catcher from the Giants, our backup catcher, he hits another home run. So this guy's on a tear. So we don't have any catcher issues at the time. A lot of people felt that there was going to be issues. Of course, losing Andy Rodriguez for the season, losing DeLay, and also losing Grandel. But you know what? This catcher position seems to just work for us.
I'm liking it. I'm liking it. That was turning out to be a nice little trade there, Bart.
Absolutely, man. I like it a lot. The division breaks down like this, guys. The Brewers, by percentage points, only because they lost four games and we lost five, but we won 11 and they won 10. So Brewers, by percentage points, are in first place. The Steelers or the Pirates are also in first place, but only a slight second because of the percentage points. Third and fourth place are occupied by the Reds and the Cubs, both sitting at 9-6. The Cardinals in last place at 7-9. The Brewers started a series against the Padres today. We got the Mets. The Reds play Seattle. The Cubs play Arizona. And the Cardinals got Oakland. So if you're following the division, that's what it looks like right now. We're getting plenty of heat this week, as Mike mentioned at the top of the show, in his head. So, you know, this is a couple of things that I picked up. You know, there's just, you know, you're only a couple years. Listen, you're an eighth of the way through the season right now, through the baseball season, one eighth. Okay. So you have the heat coming. Yesterday was literally day one of the heat here. And it's going to be, looks like 70 all week. And it should go up gradually. So the hot summer is on its way. And one thing I'm noticing, guys, is O'Neill Cruz. He needs to calm down or focus a little bit. There's a couple plays that, you know, ball went right under his glove at shortstop. He's been striking out quite a lot. He leads the team in strikeouts. I don't say send him down, but maybe sit him out a game or two and, you know, just let him do some figuring out on his own, because he, you know, like I said, it's a long, hot summer. You don't want to start on a bad foot. And like, again, you're 16 games into the season. You know, that maybe you should try to fix this. And while you have the abundant players that you have plenty of depth right now. And Aleke Smith Aleke Williams. He plays a great, he has a great glove at short. Give this dude a day off or two, try to figure it out. Mike.
Yeah. Cause he was like 0-4, 0-5 yesterday.
He was not pretty. Everybody was hitting the hell out of the ball.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like you said, just sit him down for a game. You know, you're not going to sit him down to the minors. Just let him sit on the bench and talk to him like, hey, you know, you need to get your fielding under control. You need to get your strikeouts down. No, you don't have to just hit for power, hit for contacts, good. You know, just take a day, because he's still relatively young, you know, compared to, like, in terms of at-bats. You know, missed a whole year to injury or half a year to injury before that, so – he's still adjusting to the major league game. Then just let him sit him down for a game. You know, just sit there and talk to him throughout the game. Like, hey, what's this guy? What's this at bat? Tell me what you saw in this at bat. You know, just use it as a teaching session. But you're not playing this game at all. So this is what we're doing. And yeah, there's no harm in it.
With the Mets, it might be a perfect time to do that. So.
I would agree, Derpy. I think that we got to take advantage of the Mets series. You can't have one of these blunder games. I think that Philly in Philadelphia that we tended to play a blunder game there, but you know what? I like our chances against New York. At least, as I said, if we go up there and take two out of three, and then we come home to play the Red Sox, we're off Thursday. We start a weekend series with Boston, who I think Cleveland is playing right now. Derpy, your Guardians are taking on the Red Sox, so maybe you could rough them up a little bit for us before they come down here. Also, the Mitch Turfies, Mitch
We're
Keller.
roughed up a little bit, so
Yeah. Mitch
that's
Keller on
good
the hill
too.
yesterday. He goes 7 innings, another quality start. He gives up 8 hits, but only 2 earned runs, has 4 strikeouts, no walks. It was a good day for him. And also, Mike, as I was saying, this let me go back to McCutchen for a minute. Andrew McCutchen is the fourth player to reach 300 home runs in a Pirate uniform. His first home run was on June 17th, 2009, and his 300th home run was on April 14th, 2024. 15 years, 300 home runs. And
Not bad.
I got into a fun debate with somebody on social media the other day. He said, about Philly, what's the guy, Bryce Harper?
Yeah, right.
And he went on to say that what Pittsburgh has probably never even seen a ha had somebody as talented as Bryce Harper. And I thought Bryce Harper only has
Bryce
300
Harper's.
Bryce Harper only has 309 home runs in his career. Andrew McCutchen alone has 300,
Yeah.
and Andrew McCutchen's not even close to our top five players if you're looking at Clemente, Stargell, Dave Parker, the whole way down the list. I mean, Parker, I'm sorry, Stargell has what, 475 home runs?
Yeah.
So it just kind of, it rubbed me because I thought, you know what, who the fuck are you? Who are you, Philly? Okay, Bryce Harper did, I think he won a World Series, right, Derpy?
Nope.
No.
No,
Well,
wait, no,
guess
you won it
what?
in 2019 with the Nationals.
That's what I thought. And, on the other hand, so did Clemente. So did Stargell, won two. So it was just an idiotic Philadelphia person talking. But a lot of people forget, with the exception of these last 20 years, this has always been a good franchise.
Yeah.
And they
Multiple
got
Hall of
them.
Famers. Most, hell, you can even throw
Oh,
Ralph Kiner.
absolutely. Absolutely. Also, Mike Derpy, it was a good thing because on Andrew McCutchen's 300th home run in the City of Brotherly Love, he knocks it out of the park and it is caught by no one else other than a Pittsburgh Pirate fan. How
F
cool was
you,
that?
Philly.
How cool was that? Because they want that ball to end up in the Hall of Fame. And if Philadelphia people get their filthy hands on, who knows what would happen to
No,
that ball?
you would have to like cleanse that ball. You'd have to
Yeah.
wash it, and it wouldn't be right. It
And lose all
wouldn't
of its
be,
value. Yeah.
yeah, it would too. It's still Philadelphia's. Yeah.
Over the weekend, Mike Derpy, Paul Skenes update. He
Yep.
goes 3.1. He faces 10 batters. Gives up 3 hits, no runs, no earned runs, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Mike, he struck out 8 of 10.
Well, you know what? He needs another 2 years down in the
Great.
minors
Yeah.
to like see if he maybe he can be a fifth starter in the pros.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a possibility he could come in July. He
I
should
think
be
he'll
up here
be.
now.
I know, I
I mean, he
know.
should be here
But.
now. There's no point in keeping him down there. Oh, he's not pitching. We don't want him to pitch a lot. In college, he was pitching 8 innings every fifth day, but he can't do that now. Get out of here.
You know what I heard the announcer saying the other day? During the Pirate game, they said, "Who do you think was the most athletic pitcher?" And after they pondered back and forth a while, you know who they said? The most athletic pitcher they know, Greg Maddux. How can you not
What?
even mention Ohtani?
Yeah, you're right.
You're talking about athleticism? Athletic? How athletic? Who's the
Yeah.
most athletic? And they said Greg Maddux?
The Shohei Ohtani cracking homers.
Unbelievable.
Greg Maddux, who had, oh, so, okay, real quick, people want to complain about Angel Hernandez and his huge strike zone. That's
That's who
what
we had
Greg Maddux
yesterday.
had every game he pitched. Greg Maddux did not have great control. He had Angel Hernandez back there calling his game every game, it felt like. If you put, I want to see Greg Maddux pitch in today's game where they have like the strike zone all over the TV. and see how many of his pitches were 8 feet outside the zone that were called strikes. Sorry, that was my
Listen, ring. I have no beef with Greg Maddux. I'm just saying, come on. This is the most athletic.
You got Ohtani. You got people like the other pitchers that were hitting at like 4 or 5 home runs a year. And with Greg Maddux be up there like this, 5 feet away in the batter's box, afraid in there. Hell out of here. Greg Maddux. Athletic.
Yeah, that's why I thought too. I thought,
you're right, Ohtani.
What a goofy take. Mike, this is one eighth of the way through the baseball season. Let me give you some leaders, and I'm going to give you who my MVP is through the first eighth of the season. Mike, I'm going to say right off the top, all right, well, here are your leaders. Home run leaders at this point, the Pirates. Cruz and Oliveras have 3 home runs apiece. They lead the Pirates with home runs. Brian Reynolds leads the team with 11 RBIs. Brian Hayes leads the team with 18 hits. He leads the team with 11 walks. Triolo leads the team with 2 stolen bases. Hayes leads the team in on-base percentage with even 400. Now, here's my player of the team. Here's my team MVP at this point, 1/8 of the way through the season. I like Connor Joe, Mike, because here are his numbers. On not being an everyday guy, his numbers look like this. 292 average, a home run, 10 RBIs, 11 runs, 14 hits, 5 doubles, in only 13 games. He also had 7 walks.
That's solid.
And a 393 on base percentage. Mike, Connor Joe is my MVP of this team after the first eighth of the season.
You know what? I can see that. 22 total bases and only 48 at-bats. Not bad at all. That's very solid. And like you said, not an everyday player. That's exactly where he should be. And this is how he's playing.
This is how you should be if you're having a good season as not an everyday player. And these are the numbers that you're looking for. Some people would have been a weakest link on this year's lineup, but so far as I've seen, he certainly will be. At this point, like I said, 1/8 of the way through the season, he is my team MVP.
I agree, and like you said, man, he's where he needs to be. He's not an everyday player, like fifth spot guy that comes in. You need guys like this on a real team.
I just want to take a time out and go onto the board for a second. Ron is saying he's making a prediction that the Falcons will win the NFC in its entirety, which is interesting because the Falcons are doing a lot of work. Okay. I just see that it's NFC.
But he said over the Falcons.
But anyway, I think that they've been putting a lot of work into this Falcons team, very similar to the way that the Steelers have been putting the effort into the Steelers team. You know what? I don't put it by them, especially if you're just talking about the division. I think it's certainly their division to win. But you know what, Bart? I'm sorry, but Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, would be the other team. But again, at the end of the day, I mean, Mike, are either of those teams strong enough to beat San Francisco in the playoffs when it comes down to it? Even for that matter, the Dallases, the Detroits, or the Philadelphias for that matter.
No, and Kirk Cousins with his one playoff win and with 3 or 4 tries, he doesn't scare me. It would be great during the regular season come crunch time.
Okay, see, yeah.
Mike, he said they will win the NFC Championship.
That's a bold prediction.
Only because those other teams that we named, I mean,
they might knock each other off.
I mean, those are your teams right now in the NFC. So, but you know what? There's a lot of improvement, guys. A lot of improvements on this Atlanta team. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. They just generally don't do great they're not a great team usually. So it's hard to imagine, but you know what? They have done a lot of work and they're making a lot of moves. So we'll see. We'll see if the Atlanta Falcons guys can do it this year.
I think Ron may have put some money on the Falcons.
But he said that's why it's a bold prediction, though. Prediction. Maybe put your money there, and if you win, then you win a lot of money. So, Mike, let's go over to the rink. The Pittsburgh Penguins, they in a do or die game yesterday against the Bruins over the weekend. I'm sorry. The Bruins win 6-4. Penguins dropped to 37-31-12. Bruins are 47-18-15. I'm sorry. The goal scorers for the Penguins were Bunting, O'Connor, Malkin, and Rust. Ned, he had his 11th straight start. He got yanked. Yari came in, gave up two goals. Mike, does this team have any chance at all, or is it done?
They're done. Especially if they lose tonight, to the player tomorrow against Nashville, they're done. Right. Season's over. If they win, they kind of have like a 43% chance of making it. That's the last odds that I saw. But then
43? That's high. Yeah,
if they win, they jump to a 43% chance of making it in the playoff. But they need a lot of help to have that happen as well. So I think they might be done. There's a slim hope, but they can't afford another loss. They can't.
Yeah, I mean, they dropped back with that loss. There's quite a few teams ahead of them now by a point. If they lose tonight, it's going to be tough because they only have one game left after this, which is at a road game where they travel up to finish up the season against the Islanders. That game's on Thursday at 7 o'clock. But tonight, as Mike mentioned, we do have the Nashville Predators. They're 47-29-5 coming to Pittsburgh. Games at 7 o'clock p.m. You know, and they need a lot to happen. They need a lot of things to, and that's kind of what I was hoping they would avoid with this late run, Mike. They could kind of get themselves in a position and set themselves in a spot where, you know, it would work in their favor. But this isn't good. As you said, if they lose this game tonight, it's over. And if they win this game, it's basically over. But, you know, in theory, it's not mathematically. They're not mathematically done, but they need crazy stuff to happen.
Yeah. And, you know, this is why people say, oh, you know, a loss here in November is not that important. Yeah, it is. They win one more game, two more games in, like, the November, December. They're in the playoffs.
That's why I hate it when they say that. Even with baseball in 162 games, guys, you know, you come down to the end of the season and you miss the playoffs by, you know, a game or two games. Yeah. That sucks.
It's one of those earlier games that if you would have won, you're fine down the stretch. But everyone likes to look at it that last month of the season. Oh, if we would have won this game that last month,
right?
How many won two or three more earlier in the year?
I agree. Mike, I don't know if you saw the other day, the pitcher, they had a good time up at the Penguin game. Troy Polamalu, Russell Wilson, Brett Kiesel, DeMar Hamlin, Ciara, the whole
Spencer
crew.
Anderson, baby.
They were all up there having a great time, enjoying the game, looking good in their black and gold. So,
the Russell Wilson PR campaign is on point.
You ain't kidding.
Yeah. Hey, that's one way to endear yourself to the city. Yeah, Brian, you're right. They would more 3-on-3, more power play practice, they might be better.
And it's ironic because the players on this team,
Ron. Thank you, Ron. Once again.
Thank you, Ron. Greatly appreciated, sir. But you know, as he said, you know, if there's anybody that's practiced more than anybody, it's the guys on this team. Just because they're all it's such an age that where they basically, you know, by default have practiced more than anybody in the league. I mean, you know, so how much more practice can these guys can, you know, I don't know. It might be time to redo this whole Penguin thing, guys. 2 years in a row. When was the last time we lost 2 years in a row? Didn't make the playoffs.
Bunch of, you know, start by trading that Crosby guy. What's he ever
won? Yeah.
See how many people
don't ever say that again, Mike. That don't ever say that again.
Also,
I think that's going to be my new thing now. Trade Crosby every chance I get to see Penguin fans flip out on me.
The Phoenix Coyotes are moving to Utah. Did anybody hear this?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Like, no one was going out to Phoenix to support them. I wonder what that was their ownership group thinking that people don't go out to Salt Lake City to watch them.
Now, because that's two of the more obscure sports out of the four, you know, baseball and football being the two major sports, and the fact that Utah has hockey and basketball is kind of strange. But you know what? Utah's backwards, so.
You know, it's weird. I don't know. It's just funny to me that they were having trouble selling out that like that little building that they had that had like 5,000 people max or some shit like that. Now they're going to Utah. The players are like, we don't want to go to Utah.
It's like a fire.
I'll be finding a way to get my release. Like, good. Like, you know, screw this shit. I'm going to Europe or something.
Yeah, man. Mike, the Caitlin Clark, it just never ends with this girl. She now that not only they're retiring her number, 22 is being retired over there in Iowa. Also, she was on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
I didn't catch it. I didn't know she was there, but she says this for all the haters out there, which I don't understand. But here's what she says on Saturday Night Live. This is from Caitlin Clark. Quote, thanks to all the great players like Cheryl Swoops, Lisa Leslie, Cynthia Cooper, the great Dawn Staley, and my basketball hero, Maya Moore. These are the women that kicked down the door so I could walk inside. It doesn't sound like she has a real attitude.
No.
I'm getting a lot of this, this attitude from people that are in the WNBA.
Yep.
And just let this chick do her
Yeah.
thing. I mean, she's a good basketball player. That's exciting. Why
Yeah.
not be excited for the person that's
Exactly. It's jealousy from the old heads. And
yeah,
you,
right.
really, it's the jealousy of the ex-UConn player is what it is.
And it is. It's all them UConn. You're
Yeah.
right, Mike.
It is. Everyone who went to UConn age or everyone else, it seemed like, yeah. You know what? We're excited for her. They would, hell, even the team that they beat in the championship game, they stopped, she stopped her, the coach stopped her press conference to congratulate Caitlin Clark on what she did for the sport overall. It's the ex-UConn players that hate her. It's comical. It's funny.
So also, some comment directed at her that wasn't bad from somebody who wasn't from UConn. Lisa Leslie says this: she better be on the Olympic team. We should not leave the country without her. She's a bona fide baller. There's no doubt she's already one of the best players in the world. That is from Lisa Leslie,
I can agree with that.
Lisa Leslie gets it.
who in my opinion was one of the best women basketball players. Listen, when you could dunk, you're one of the best. I don't care what
Yeah.
anybody says. And
Hey, she was. I remember watching her in college. She was a beast.
oh, absolutely, man. And then she was on that the initial
Yep.
the LA team whenever they kicked off the WNBA.
Excuse me.
And also, there's one other group of set of numbers that I do want to pull up if I could find here in a fast manner. Here it is. Every one of Caitlin Clark's last three college games broke the record for most watched women co college basketball games ever. The game against LSU, 12.3 million. The game against UConn, 14.2 million. And finally, the championship against South Carolina, 18.7 million people tuned in. I was certainly one of them. So there you go. Whether you hate her, you like her, you can't deny this chick. She got it, man.
Yeah.
Guys, let's move on. Pitt, the Blue Gold game happened on Saturday down at Acrisure Stadium. Free admission if you got down. It was a nice day. Hey, you know what? I don't know if it was a nice day. Was it raining that day? I don't know.
I can't. I think the rain held off.
I
But
was at
the
the Ohio State one.
did you go?
Yeah, I went to the Ohio State one, yeah.
Okay. The gold beats blue 17-10. Also, Mike and Pitt news. Pitt volleyball, the girls basketball team, they beat Penn State over the weekend three matches
Yeah,
to one.
I saw that and I rejected reality. I don't know, their volleyball team is bad. So
Yeah.
they're amazing.
Also, Mike, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, they tied Rhode Island 0-0 on
Good point.
Saturday, and they will be playing Phoenix next Saturday. That is the Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
It's like such a Pittsburgh thing for the Riverhounds. They upgrade the stadium and have trouble running.
Also, Mike, in the USFL, there was four games that went down this weekend. All the teams played on Saturday. The DC Defenders beat the Arlington Renegades 29-28. That puts the DC Defenders at 2-1.
Beer snake.
Air Arlington is 0-3. The other game on Saturday was Birmingham Stallions 33, the Memphis Showboats 13. Stallions are still yet to lose a game. They're 3-0. The Memphis Showboats are 1-2. Sunday's games, the Michigan Panthers 34 over the Houston Roughnecks 20. Michigan's at 2-1. Houston's 0-3. And this game here is, some would argue, the two of the better teams in the league, guys. The St. Louis Battlehawks, I'm so sorry, 31. San Antonio Brahmas, 24. They're both sitting at 2-1 at the moment, Mike. And here we are. We're going into the fourth week of the UFL.
Out. They need the ratings. I saw some of the ratings. They weren't looking too good.
They
Let's
weren't
see it.
looking good.
Yeah, they weren't looking at it. some of the attendance was down too for the league. But hey, as long as the DC Defenders and the Beer Snake keep winning, I am happy.
That's all that matters.
That's all I care. The Beer Snake.
Mike, why don't you tell us about the webpage?
The2DoneYinzers.com. The2DoneYinzers.com. They're there. If you're new here, we've got Brian and I social media links all over there. We've got the merch store. It's awesome shirt. We also have the blog, and new blog update today. It's about the top four centers in the draft. Steelers should be eyeing one of those four. Check it out. The2DoneYinzers.com.
Go check it out, everybody. www.the2dumbusers.com. Mike, I got a question. I was over on the website the other day.
Yeah.
And it asked me if I wanted the app. Did you set that up?
Because
I have a 2 Dumb Yinzer website app on my phone right now.
I did not set up an app for the 2 Dumb.
So this may or may not be going on. People, go check it out. Go to www.the2dumbusers.com. It asked me when I was on there. Now it didn't before, but it did over the weekend, and it asked me if it wanted me to put the app on my phone, and I said yeah, and I do. It's right on my main page now, and all I got to do with one push of the button sends me right to the website. So go try that out. Mike did it. He done it on accident, and this is something that I wanted to do initially, and he kind of done it on accident, and now I have it. Did you get it? Did you do it too?
I did not do that. I don't know what happened there.
I mean, were you able to do that now? Are you able to?
I'm over there now. I don't see anything asking me about an app.
Very peculiar. So we're going to continue to work on it. I don't know what's going on, but I know that I have it. There's no doubt. There's no conversation. It is what it is. I'm looking at it. So go check it out, everybody.
That's weird, right? That's weird. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what I did.
So, Michael, you have... Yes, so go check that out, everybody. You may be able to. I do. I have the app on my phone because I went to the website and it asked me. It says, you want me to place the app on your phone? Huh. So my dumb Yinzer his way through it, and there we go. We have an app.
I did dumb Yinzer
through the app. Ron says, I want to have a conversation about Arthur Smith and Sullivan and whether we'll think Smith will be more of run games. You know what? You know, everything points to it's going to be more run, but you got to be able to pass. It's a passing league, and you're bringing in, you know, a quarterback that could throw a little bit more. You're trying to get receivers that, you know, could be. So, you know, I think that it's going to be more run than it was, but they have to do a, you know, they have to really figure it out, Mike and Ron, a way to keep that even, because again, yeah. I don't think you could go one way, or I don't think you could go the other way strong anymore. You have to have a balanced game. You got to be able to pass. And you know what? Having a strong running game is a huge plus, but you can't rely on the running game like you used to.
No, and what you saw too with Sullivan, when he took over, became more of the passing game coordinator after he fired Canada, the passing game took off. And it became much better. But also, too, like Arthur Smith, when he was in the OC down in Tennessee, yeah, they ran the ball a lot, but they used that play action to set it up, and they had guys put up some really good numbers in the receiving game. So it's going to be interesting to see, like Ron said, is Sully going to take more of the passing concepts and design those plays, or will Arthur do it too? So I haven't really read how they're going to do that. I know Sullivan, I saw he's like a senior offensive advisor. He's no longer like in charge of a position group. So he might just be more overall helping Smith shape the game plan and the offense of like, hey, I know these guys
like
better
the
than you. I know
also,
the guys
Mike,
that were here, what they do well. Hey, what does your offense do? Let's get in the lab and work it out. It's going to be interesting, that collaboration between those two.
What I really like is the fact that you have a quarterback now. You know, a lot of this experimental shit is going to go better because you have a seasoned vet.
Yeah.
You have a guy that's smart, a guy that could, you know, he could make changes to the line, a guy that won the Super Bowl, a guy that's going to have an amazing career when it's all said and done. I think that this is falling, and that's why I'm saying, like, you know, with a few of these things falling into place, I think by default we become a better team. We move our way up that ladder, and at the end of the day, you just have to figure out ways to win games in the playoffs. In other words, figure out how to beat teams like the Chiefs, and we're making the necessary moves. You can't, at the end of the season, whatever happens, you can't say that we didn't make the attempts and the moves and what we thought was necessary to get us to that next step. Yeah. So all we can do now is wait and see 10 days to the draft.
It is with like Arthur Smith's passing game, a lot of attack in the middle of the field. And that's where kind of Russ has struggled in his career, is just sitting in the pocket through the middle of the field. So we'll see how that works out. But, you know, Russ is able to find ways to get the ball down the field. So we'll see.
All right, guys. It is time for the trivia of the day. This question, guys. Brian, did you say that Caitlin Clark's boyfriend's good looking? I'm just catching this now. And you're lucky I don't have enough. I don't have more time because I would like to talk about this with you. But listen, guys, the question of the day is this. The Pirates and the Mets, they start their season series tonight. Big rivalry in the late 80s. And you know what? The Pirates and Mets always seem to draw a big crowd no matter where they play, whether it be in Queens or whether it be right here on the North Shore. Mike Derpy, everybody on the board, here's the question of the day. This is a Pirates-Mets trivia question, guys. Here we go. In the Pirates-Mets all-time series, one team has the slight edge of 398 to 372 overall. Either the Pirates or the Mets have a slight edge of 398 to 372 overall between these two teams forever. Which team, guys, I want to know, is the all-time, which team leads this series? Was it the Pirates or was it the Mets? One of these teams have 398 wins against each other in the history of these two teams. One has 372. Is it the Pirates or the Mets, guys, that have the more wins in the all-time series? Take a moment to think that over. We are live, everybody. We're live 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, right here, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., the brand new show that we do live every day. We upload it over on Spotify at 8 o'clock p.m. If you'd rather listen to the show or you just don't have time to watch the show and you want to put it in your earbuds or in the car, wherever you may be going, you could always do that every day after 8 o'clock p.m. on Spotify. Check it out. All right, guys, the question of the day is this. The all-time series between the Pirates and the Mets is 398 to 372. I want to know which one of those two teams holds that narrow lead. I mean, in the big picture, that's a lot of games. So those are pretty narrow numbers. It's a 26 number difference, guys. 26 win difference. All right, Mike, I'm going to start with you today. And I want you to tell me which of these teams has the 398 wins. Which team leads the all-time series between the Buccos and the Mets?
I go with the Mets.
The Mets, is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
All right, I'm going to lock Mike into place. Mike, you're locked in on the Mets. Ron on the board says the Mets. Derpy, I'm going to come to you. The all-time series between the Mets and the Pirates, 398 to 372, only a 26-game difference. Pretty narrow. Mike says the Mets holds the lead in the series. Ron says the Mets also hold the lead in the series. Derpy, which team has 398 wins? The Pirates or the Mets?
I'm going to go the Buccos.
The Buccos, interesting. Is this your final answer?
Yes.
All right. Derpy, I'm locking you in. All right. Question of the day, guys. The all-time record in the series between the Pirates and Mets is 398 and 372. I'm looking for which team has the 398 wins. Which team has more wins in this overall series? The Buccos or the Mets? Derpy says the Pirates. Mike and Ron on the board says the Mets. It is, in fact, guys, the Pittsburgh Pirates. They lead this series all-time with 398 wins over the Mets. The Mets have 372 wins over the Pirates. There you go. I would have probably guessed the Mets if I didn't know. Yeah. If I was not looking at the answer, I would have probably said the Mets.
Yeah, I thought they had some better teams overall, like when we started playing them. But
the Mets are weird, yeah, because they're the other team that's not the Yankees. Yeah. So people look at this team and the Mets don't know, and they generally think the Mets are always pretty good, but they're not. The Mets had like five good seasons in their whole entire existence, yeah, you know. 86, 69. Yeah,
when they were good, they were really good.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But
everyone remembers the amazing Mets.
But people forget that they are still the other team in New York and the Yankees fans. They love that. They always seem to never miss an opportunity to remind them that. I do want to say thank you to everybody for checking us out today. We appreciate each and every one of you. As always, we couldn't, we wouldn't do it without you. Everybody on the board, we certainly appreciate you as well. You guys always keep things interesting here on the show. Mike, anything before we get ready to take off for today?
Deion Sanders had produced the team that he will allow his sons and Travis Hunter to play for. It's nice to know that he is controlling not only his kids' future, but Travis Hunter's future as well. So, all right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Derpy, what do you got?
Mike, I'm disappointed in you because I can't make fun of your bald head.
It'll be back, Derpy. I promise. As many times they made fun of it, it still made its way back.
This might be the new look. This might be the new look.
You love the garbage man look. Look at him.
Heck yeah, man.
Yes, Ron, exactly. Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden, Kevin Elster. You know what? As a kid, I loved that team, as a matter of fact. Howard Johnson, they were stacked.
I wonder who did more cocaine, the Strawberry teams or the Stargell teams?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
Also, I do want to mention, guys, that the play-in games for the NBA we spoke about briefly the other day, or Wednesday, they have 1 through 6 figured out in the NBA. 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds play each other on Wednesday to figure out who the final two teams going into the playoffs are. And finally, Mike, not sports related, the rated R Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. A lot of guys our age might find this interesting, but the new Turtles, anytime the Turtles come out, it's always a big thing. But they have the rated R Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie coming out, I believe, this summer. So if that's something that you're interested in.
I think they're basing it off the one graphic novel. But there's one last Ninja Turtle left.
So maybe. Okay. Yeah, I think that's what.
Yeah, that was like a real popular graphic novel. Yeah.
So there you go. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You know what? I'll probably watch it because hell yeah.
Like I said, every once in a while I catch a movie that I'll be interested in watching. This might be one. We'll see.
But Kevin Nash played anything the else? Kevin Nash played Shredder in Ninja Turtles 1.
Mike, anything else before we take off?
Oh, no, that's all I got, man.
Derby, anything else?
Thanks again, Ron.
Something will probably happen after the stream.
Absolutely. We'll probably get IU here in about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Also, guys, Bucks and Pucks tonight. Don't forget, the Penguins are back in action. This is basically their last straw. They got Nashville at home. That game's at 7 o'clock tonight. Also, the Pirates back at it up in City, City Bank Field, City Park Field up in New York. 7:10 start. That is a Martin Perez versus an Adrian Hauser. And I think that's about it for me, guys. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
I got nothing.
Draft time coming up.
Draft time, 10 days, guys. Don't forget to check out your Bucks and Pucks today. Let's see if these Pittsburgh teams can keep it going in the right direction. For Derpy, for Mike in the Steelers Central Mobile Studio, and myself, the Two Dumb Yenders, everybody have a great day. We'll be back first thing tomorrow to talk about all these games and more. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
No.